Today's program is brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
I'm Erica Wise, host of Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, Greenhorn. This is Severin, and this is Greenhorns Radio. Today we have an episode from the desert. Not the desert. Just kidding. The Texas. This is Laurie. Yep. She is the founder and leader of the Texas Young Farmers Coalition and much more. And I'm really pleased to have her on. Hi, Laurie.
Hi, Severin. How are you?
So what's going on with the young farmer scene in Texas, Laurie?
So, we're kind of hosting workshops, we're doing meetups every month. Kind of the tricky part of Texas is just that everybody is so spread out. And basically the Texas Young Farmer Coalition is based in central Austin, or central Texas, so mostly around Austin. We've been branching out and kind of meeting some people in the Dallas area and the Houston area. Lots of folks down in San Marcos. There's kind of a revival of folks actually starting farms down in the San Marcos area and closer to San Antonio. But, yeah, it's all mostly just a game of trying to find out where everybody is and connecting those dots and just basically, you know, creating a big network of people. So yeah, it's moving. We've got a nice community of maybe about 30 or 40 people here right in central Texas that really help each other out. We talk all the time. We see each other at all these events. And, it's great.
So step one is community. And
definitely.
What is step two? Where is it going to go from here?
I think step two is taking community kind of one step further and actually start doing things together. So, you know, use that community to go out and help somebody build something they need to get done, or go out and help somebody plant something, help somebody seek out resources that they need to start their farm or to access capital, whatever they need. But really, you know, instead of just standing around and talking and all that, you know, have an action, have a goal, and use each other to go and do that. So.
And so, I mean, I spent a lot of time. We had a really fun party out there for the opening of the Young Farmers Coalition in Texas, and I thought you guys were such good organizers and really tuned into and learning from the process. And as there's more and more, you know, coalitions starting up, and as, you know, we're learning how to be organizers as well as farmers, or in my case now, like, becoming an ex-farmer,
yeah,
mostly organizer.
Yeah.
Can you talk just a little bit about, like, how you've tuned in your observation and your facilitation of the community that you're serving?
Sure. So I co-founded it with my good friend Evan Driscoll and a few of our other friends, Zach Martin and Stephen Linkus. And really it just kind of started with the four of us. And at the beginning it was actually kind of difficult to find people who had the time or just even find people who felt with the capacity to sort of help organize and get things going. But we just kept throwing meetups. We kept sending stuff out on the listserv over and over, and slowly we started to meet more people and see more people out at these events. It really takes, you know, people kind of coming out and participating in these things. And then, you know, at these events, we started to recognize people who were experts in sort of one area or were really doing neat things in another part of town, and kind of singling those people out and actually giving them, you know, asking for specific help, like, can you help us organize this event, or we really need this help with this workshop, or, hey, you know all these people who, you know, use draft horses, can you help set up a workshop with that? it's really kind of going out and trying not to do it all yourself, but finding those people and seeking them out and asking them to sort of take responsibility. And, yeah, we've been really successful, you know. We still are always looking for new and ambitious and excited and enthusiastic people, and the more the merrier. So, but it's slow, you know, and it can take time, but you get there eventually. So.
Well,
and you know, and also, yeah.
No, go for it.
Oh no, just you know, you also. You know, we were fortunate enough to kind of, Evan and I, kind of find ourselves in an already existing community of the farmers that were here, you know, and using them also, just as, you know, we learned so much from the farmers that we worked for these past 4 or 5 years, you know, using, you know, their community base and their resources to really go out and find people as well. So it's all been kind of one sort of just gathering of momentums, you know. The people before us got everything started and paved the way, and we're just trying to keep that momentum going and moving forward. So, which could
be
hard here because...
Hard here because it's Texas and it's so effing big.
Yes, that is a big, big issue, you know. Most people are, you know, pretty far away, and it's hard to... you know, it's hard to connect those dots. So that has definitely been a struggle. You know, the closest, you know, next biggest city, you know, us is probably, you know, Houston, which is a good 3 hours away. So getting, you know, young farmers to come out from these areas, you know, for an evening or a weekend can be difficult at times. But our method is just through different conferences and workshops, you know, we've met people in these different areas and trying to give them the resources and sort of know how to start chapters there, so sort of like sub-chapters, satellites of our coalition. We've got something kind of going on in the Denton area with the Cardo's Farm Project. So, again, just like slowly building and networking and trying to find those people who are really gung-ho and enthusiastic and giving them specific jobs. So
I guess the question I have of you, as always the question, is, you know, what do you need more of? Or, you know, the Grangers are what I always say, you know, how can we help each other more? And obviously the state coalitions are affiliated with the national coalition, and the national coalition is working on farm policy reform, and that is mostly so far been through the Farm Bill and then recently through the food safety comment period. But it feels like over the long run, there's going to be a lot of potential for state-driven and state-oriented policy initiative and, you know, responding to issues as they arise and having kind of like the social infrastructure and community infrastructure and trust and knowledge to be able to get the word out about, you know, either dangerous and dramatic and bad policy changes or regulatory changes, but also to be engaged in, you know, building new models and, you know, planning for good. And I wonder if you feel like, you know, some training in that area would be right, or if you need more, you know, media products, or do you need more business training? Like, what do you see as the kind of takeaway needs?
Well, for Texas especially, and actually the city of Austin is kind of going through, it's an interesting time for Texas here in terms of policy, because we're seeing all of our cities are kind of shifting and changing codes and changing council members. So it's sort of the perfect time to start getting involved in policy and advocacy. And yeah, I would say kind of the biggest need is just voices. Like, I really always encourage anybody I come across who's interested in farming or interested in agriculture to get involved with policy and at least be aware of what's happening in your state and in your city, because it will really affect you in the long run And, you know, a lot of the times, especially right now, it's really, really important to get involved. All the stuff that's going on nationally with the, you know, the Farm Bill and all the work that the National Young Farmer Coalition is doing, I just don't think we could have enough people get more involved in that. And it doesn't take a lot, you know. All it really takes is just, you know, reading and keeping up with, you know, what's going on and just making sure that you know what your council people and your mayor and your legislators and your governor are doing for you, because you can make a difference. I really do. And, you know, we're gaining in numbers. I mean, just like I said here, we've got a core 30 to 40, group of people here just in Austin that could really be effective for our city and our state. And Texas is fortunate enough, actually, to have an advocacy group for us, which is FARFA, the Farm and Ranch Freedom Alliance group. So getting involved with them is also a really great way, getting involved with us, just staying abreast of what's happening around you, you know, is important, I believe.
So the farm, sorry, I haven't heard that much about the Farm and Freedom group. Are they like kind of libertarian, protecting raw milk and from animal ID? What's their kind of ilk?
Yeah, they definitely do, things around those issues, raw milk and the ID. One thing that they helped push through just in the last 2 years was for Texas was the cottage food bill, which is really, really important because what it did was it allowed people to can and make jams and stuff in their homes. They didn't have to use a commercial kitchen for certain products. So it really helps a lot of farmers that I know around the area just be able to take some of, you know, their produce and turn it into a different form without having to utilize, you know, the cost of a commercial kitchen. So, you know, they've gotten legislation through, and they're highly, highly active in our community. So they're great people. They just recently held a community action day, actually, where 2 days of just workshops and letter writings and bringing up issues that they were going to tackle this year with the legislation. So, good stuff. Good stuff.
It's good stuff. Well, just looking at some of the kind of state-driven wins, ballot initiatives, and kind of like the action. Obviously, legalization of marijuana is a good example of, you know, kind of more hands-off government, which is, you know, like in sync with a strong libertarian tendencies. I just got to see Joel Salatin speak again at this conference in Kentucky called Slow Money, and man, you know, I just feel like there's some really strong kinship between the like DIY punk rebel lefty and then hard right. It's like two wings of the same dove, you know, left wing tip, right wing tip.
Yeah, like, definitely. Yeah. And I'm always an advocate of, you know, the trickle-up policy, you know, just you have to start with the individual in your local community, you know, and those small things, you know, eventually make these big changes up top, you know, but you can't wait around for the guys up top to change everything. You have to be the ones doing it. So, like you're saying, it starts with all these different types of groups, like the DIYers and then the hard rights and the libertarians, all these people coming together, you know, to eventually, like, trickle up and, you know, push for change, the change that they want to see. So,
it's exciting. There's a really interesting race going on. The GMO labeling bill was called as a loss. After Monsanto dumped like $2 million in the last week or $1.6 million in the last week. They went from a 70% in favor of labeling to, you know, dead heat by the day of the election because of all these ads that were being shown that were being paid for. And, but it turns out there's 13,000 contested votes. And so what's happening now is the grassroots is mobilizing through, like, Facebook and through friends and basically doing a phone tree to call people whose votes are contested and verify the vote. And, you know, it's literally like going door to door and verifying people's votes. it just occurs to me, you know, we're doing farm work. The majority of the farm work in this country is performed by farm workers, you know, who many times don't have driver's licenses and who coordinate their migration and their lives through cell phones, that we in the young farmer world would probably be well served to do more phone tree, you know, like fire drills. And so I talked about that with Brooke, and we've just made a beautiful phone tree template that we're printing in the
almanac.
Nice. I don't know. It's just like an idea, but you can see what you think.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and, you know, and, yeah, just talking to each other like we are now, like, the concept of a phone tree would be a really great idea for certain things here that's happening right now in Austin, actually, you know. And so just always, you know, putting your fingers out there and asking questions and talking to people and learning what other people are doing is pretty awesome. So, yeah, I'd love to see that because I can think of two immediate applications that we could use that in right now.
Are they still secret, or can you talk about them in 1 minute?
yeah, well, just like I was saying earlier, City of Austin is kind of going through a rewrite of all of their code and their ordinances, and the City of Austin has also pushed out a new kind of city plan called Imagine Austin, where they really want to, you know, push, you know, increase public transportation and, you know, do things for the environment and involve agriculture and food production within the city limits. But those sort of plans don't necessarily match up with code. And right now they're rewriting them and they're asking for public opinion to come in and help rewrite this code. So if you want to say in there that, you know, urban farms should be allowed or this and that, like city-owned land, a certain percentage should be used for agriculture, like this is the time. You know, we actually have this moment where we can say and write this code and propose it to the city. So it's exciting.
Well, it seems like, I know that the City of Austin has been very thoughtful about attracting artists and especially musicians by having really good health care. And it just occurs to me that I know a lot of those artists are in super solidarity with young farmers and see themselves as, you know, kind of a cultural arm of the young farmers movement. And
definitely,
I don't know, I get motivated all of a sudden to think about some kind of big benefit concert to raise awareness about supporting the kind of community that those artists want to live in, not just by giving them health care to incent them to stay, but as you're saying, city-owned land. Now, we have to get off the phone, Lorig, because we are running out of time. But
boo.
I'm sending you big hugs, and I'm really impressed with your stalwart, shiny star efforts. And, you know, keeping it going this long gives you good prospects for staying with it over the long term, and I thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for getting me started. So you were the inspiration to start this chapter, so thanks. So cool.
Girl power. Okay.
yeah. Okay, bye, Severin.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.